Bill Buckley here until 2, big afternoon of sport thereafter. It's gadget time now, tech time now, with the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. Why not follow him on Twitter? At Gadget Detective is where you will find him. Morning, Fevzi.
Good
well,
morning.
Afternoon. Yeah, you were hesitating there, weren't you?
You confused the hell out of me. I thought, are we pre-recording or something?
If you haven't had your lunch yet, it's morning. In my view, this has always been.
I haven't had my lunch yet.
Oh,
it's waiting for me downstairs. I haven't had my breakfast.
Oh, shame on you, Fevzi. You must start the day with a good breakfast, you know.
If I eat just before I speak, I croak.
Oh.
I don't die. I just become very sort of.
Yeah,
all the
but
time.
Why weren't you having your breakfast about 4 hours ago?
4 hours ago, I hadn't gone to bed yet.
Oh my word! I thought I knew your life well by now. After all these years together, but apparently not.
Well, it links to the story because the story is about devices are being nicknamed as vampire devices.
Yes. And you're the vampire gadget detective, yes.
Yes, although, unlike a vampire, I am going to suggest that people start thinking about solar panels because the cost of solar panels, although is high, the cost of a unit of electricity is going ever upwards, unfortunately, and there will be a crossover at some point as the price of the panels comes down with economies of scale and advances in technology, and the cost of electricity goes up at some point. Everyone's going to be sticking these things on their roofs and in their gardens, but possibly not quite there yet. But this is an interesting piece of research. It's been published. It's based on research by British Gas, funny enough, but it's about electricity usage, and it's basically saying that because we have so many devices, electronic and electrical devices, that are plugged into the wall all the time, that even though they're on standby, you know, they're not actively working, they're still consuming electricity. And estimates vary about how much this costs, you know, anything from £55 a year to you know, a couple of hundred pounds a year. But it's quite interesting because some people say, well, I can't be bending over around the back of the cabinet to switch off my TV at the plug all the time. Sometimes the plugs are not even accessible, right? It's kind of difficult to do it. And, you know, people of a certain age and, you know, mobility and stuff, it's not easy,
or you worry that it's things that you've programmed, and when you turn it back on again, all what you put into it will be lost, and you'll have to
Precisely.
Put it back in again if you can remember how to put it back in. Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah, and there are devices where they tell you not to unpower them, like things with rotating hard disks, you know, like skyboxes and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, because if you suddenly cut power to them, it's quite jarring and can cause damage. It's not like a computer. I mean, obviously, increasingly, devices don't have rotating hard drives in them, but for high-capacity applications like recording TV shows, they still do. Now, with a computer, you can sort of go through a shutdown where, you shut down Windows or whatever it is, and it shuts down the hardware in an orderly fashion. But if you can't really do that with a skybox, so I'm just giving that as an example. If you suddenly pull the power, you could even corrupt data or damage the device, so it's not recommended. But with the exception of those devices, I have a suggestion. I mean, obviously, if you can just easily switch it off, do so. It's obviously going to draw less power. If you can't easily get to it, then there's a couple of things that you can do. There are these little devices that plug into the mains wall socket that respond to remote control signals. So you get a small remote control with it, and then you plug the device into the wall, and then the thing that you would initially plug into the wall, you plug into that device. So it's sort of daisy-chained, piggybacked one on the other.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then what it means is that when you press the button, disables the socket. It physically switches it off. It does the equivalent of pushing the switch on the main socket, but without you having to physically get to the socket.
Right.
So there is that, and they're cheap. You know, you can get those things for about a fiver, so you get your money back on them, I would suggest, quite quickly. The other thing is that you can use, if you've got one of these smart speaker type devices, be it, you know, from Amazon or Google or whoever, all of them have the ability to control smart devices. So you can control your lighting and mains plugs in the ways that I've indicated to you. So you can not only do that by voice, but you can set up groups. So let's say you're going to come to your desk and you want everything switched on that you need. So you, with a single command, you can switch on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, podcasters do this a lot, actually, you know, where they've got all these different devices, and with one word they can switch them all on, and with one word to the point they can switch them all off again, and they don't have to go, you know, yeah. on their hands and knees under the desk and all of that. And that's kind of clever, because then if you take some time to set it up, so, you know, you say, you know, well, you know, she who must be obeyed, and then the word bedtime.
Right.
And then it'll
yes.
just turn off. It'll turn off all the stuff that you don't need. It'll turn off other things on timers, and it does it very intelligently. So, you know, when you get up, and when you, if you want to be really smart about it, you could set it up so that when you walk into a room, and you approach your favorite armchair, the lamp by your armchair comes on.
Oh my word!
And when you, and there are TVs that can detect movement, for example, and if you stop moving in front of the telly will eventually turn itself off. So that's actually more
take
useful
a bit
than,
of getting used to, I'm thinking.
Yeah, and also, do we really trust them with that? you know, cameras in television sets, and, you know, they haven't always had the best track record.
No.
But if you can actually do it yourself, and although this is a bit of work to set these things up, you've got a lot of the technology already there. So, you know, next time you might already have a smart speaker. So many people do now. And the bulbs that you get, you know, you don't have to buy the, you know, expensive Nest bulbs. There's other bulbs that you can buy that are do a similar job. And, you know, just the ability to, it's the convenience, but also now increasingly the cost and the ability mm-hmm. just to save. And I think people will save literally hundreds of pounds in the year as the prices go up.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you know, hundreds of pounds will be saved. And as I say, at some point also, it will be interesting for people to start to experiment with the odd solar panel. It's a very nice feeling, Bill, to use something and you know it's free, that you're using it for free. And if you've generated extra, to actually sell it back to the electricity people.
Yeah,
that's kind of nice.
Very good. And at the moment, at current electricity prices, the television, if you're just not turning it off properly, is costing you nearly £25 a year, followed by the microwave, just over £16 a year. The shower, even, if you've got an electric shower, nearly £10. Washing machine, nearly a fiver. Printer, nearly £4. Even your humble phone charger, over £1. So there's a lot of saving to be made.
Yeah. And also, just one thing. It's also worth considering buying a new device. If you've got a very old telly and you're sort of struggling along with it, that will be costing you a lot more in standby mode than a more modern telly.
For
a similar size. I mean, obviously, if you go 85-inch screen, then it may be a different matter. But
So there's a win-win. So a better telly, and indeed also. Right, it's Bill Buckley here. Fevzi Turkamp, the Gadget Detective, is here as well. Don't forget, you can subscribe to his podcast. It's free, gadgetdetective.com, or via She Who Must Be Obeyed, or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or all the other ways that you get your podcasts. On to Gadget of the Week. And, how nice, it's K9's great-grandson.
Yeah, so this is probably one of the most educational gadgets that we've seen for a while. It's a lot of fun. I hesitate to call it a toy, because actually it's a lot more than a toy. It's the sort of thing that very worthy parents would buy their children in the hope that they'll grow up to be Elon Musk, or at least have his money. It's called Bittle, B-I-T-T-L-E. It's a robot dog. It's small. It's not much bigger than the palm of your hand. It's from a company called Petoi, P-E-T-O-I. And it comes in two forms, essentially. You can either buy it pre-assembled, or you can buy it in kit form. The price difference, I mean, first of all, this item is about £300, so know that first of all. But the price difference between the kit form and the pre-assembled is only about a tenner.
So the
reason why you would want to get the kit form is for the pleasure of building it and all the knowledge it gives you. So it depends what you want to learn, because this device, so when you buy a toy robot dog or whatever it does what it does, and that's all it will ever do. This is based on software which is called open source. That's to say the actual code is published and people can use it freely and tinker with it. And there's a whole community of people who develop software which can then drive this dog and do very clever tricks and have artificial intelligence and all of that. And we'll get into that in a moment. So you can build this new functionality. So if you're only interested in the software side of it, then you can buy the pre-built one. But I would say to you, if you are minded to tinker with the software, you can spend an hour or two on just assembling this. It's not like there's any welding to be done or soldering or anything like that. Most of it snaps together, and the rest of it mostly with a screwdriver. Mm. And putting it together and then calibrating it so all the limbs, you know, are correctly aligned and all of that is, I think, absolutely part of the joy. And it's a pleasure that will stay with a younger person or indeed an adult for the rest of the day. There is a sense of achievement in putting one of these things together.
Unless they get stuck, like the pre-packed furniture with, I've still got four screws left over and that hinge won't go on properly. You know?
I would posit that it's possibly easier than some of the packed flat furniture.
It's not, fair enough.
You know, well, you don't end up with bits left over for one thing. And, you know, so it's kind of smart. So it's small, but the size sort of belies the sophistication of it. It's got some quite clever things in it. So the way that the limbs work, it's obviously a dog, it's a quadruped, the way that they work, it adjusts to uneven terrain. And that's a function that you see on much more expensive robots like the ones from Boston Dynamics, you know, all those rather scary videos you see on YouTube of them, you know, doing things that we can't do, like backflips and things like that. And also the Sony Aibo dog, which costs thousands of pounds. So it's got some quite clever tech built into it. So it's a little robot dog, construct it yourself, palm-sized. You can do a number of things with it. So it's got a remote control with it. So if you want to just, you know, do a few tricks with it, you can. It can do push-ups. That's kind of endearing to watch a little robot dog do push-ups. You know, shout at your dog, give me 100, and it does, you know, or at least 3, and then you have to push the button again. It will also cock a leg, and then it will give the leg a little shake after it's done its virtual business.
Yeah. A step too far in realism, I think, but there we
are. No, but it's kind of cute, you know. It's endearing, you know. A lot of the things with robots is, you know, about anthropomorphism, you know, our human inclination to see sort of human and you know, pet qualities in these devices. So, but it's quite interesting. Yeah. And the software that you can work with this, so you don't have to be a software genius. You can just use the standard software that, you know, download with it. But it comes with a course, a video-based course where you can actually learn about it. You can do visual programming where you effectively, you know, dragging and dropping elements and, you know, you don't need to write code, all the way through to professional program languages like C++ and Python. I mean, you do have to add a bit to be able to do that, but you can develop your physics skills, your engineering skills, your problem-solving skills. And there are add-ons that you can get for this as well. So you can buy a little camera module. It's just under £60. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, can I say there's something rather dark about me, I realise, because I like to run this with the head off. I like to see the dog running around with no head, and I don't know why.
Well, it seems to fit in with the vampire's personality.
I know, but still, I'm just digging
a bigger hole. Yeah.
Yes. But there's something strange. But you can. But the reason why that came to mind is because you can put the camera module in the dog's mouth. And it's got this sort of, instead of having a little bone in front of it, it's got the module in its mouth. And then you can teach it to see, and you give it, you know, the software to artificially intelligently observe objects and recognize objects. So you can do that. It's all rather nice. It says for ages 14 plus. And maybe there's a reason that they think 13-year-olds are going to swallow the bits. But frankly, I would have had a go at this at 9 or 10,
right?
And I think a lot of bright kids or kids with no fear of failing will have a good time with one of these devices. It's really, really, really nice device. It'd be used in schools. It'd be used for home educators. But I think it's the sort of thing that, if you pardon me for saying so, it's a toy that has legs, because you can just upgrade it. You've heard of Raspberry Pis, these little credit card sized computers that you can use to control other devices. You can actually plug a Raspberry Pi device into this to augment its processing capabilities, and you can plug lots of you could give it, for example, you can plug a little module that will give it ultrasonic vision.
Yes.
I mean, it's just the stuff that, you know, youngsters, well, you know,
I'm just thinking what somebody would have made, like, even a few years ago, turning on the radio and hearing somebody say, of course, you can plug your Raspberry Pi into your robot dog. In all seriousness, I mean, it's just incredible, really.
I know, and given I've had no breakfast, it's even more tempting. But I just think that it's amazing. It's not a toy. It is a You'll play with it, you'll have fun with it, but you can just learn from it. And the fact you can add all these standardized modules into it, the fact that it comes with this 16 lessons of graphical programming language with it, you know, it's just great. And you've got this whole community that support it. So kit version 300, pre-assembled version 310, camera modules 60 quid. It'll run for about an hour on a single charge of the battery. You can get a second battery pack for about £40. You can see it at petoi.com, P-E-T-O-I.com, or that well-known website featuring South American rivers.
Oh, yes.
And it gets 4 stars out of 5.
And I'll give you 5, Fevzi, for another fabulous session. We'll talk again in 7 days' time. There he goes, Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective.